This podcast replay is brought to you by Craig's Inns, Acura of Pembroke Pines, where you can get the TLX 2020 model for $209 a month, $29.99 due at signing, plus tax, tag, and registration. Check it out at 15601 Pines Boulevard.
All righty. Welcome back. Well, or welcome aboard, actually. I just feel like welcome back because I just did a radio show for 2 hours.
Walk down the hall, open up another door, get on the air.
Yes, exactly. A little love on the podcast. This will be, unfortunately, a short one because, as you can tell with my voice, the news is absolutely amazing, surprising, shocked. I wasn't ready for it. I think most of us weren't. I think a lot of you out there are dying for the news to happen. You're dying to turn the page. For me, I love the building process of all of this. So I had the patience to wait for Tua. But clearly, Brian Flores felt that it was time to make the change. Clearly, Brian Flores felt that this was the opportunity to win more than you're already winning. Because if he's making this change, he feels Tua is ready to play. And he feels Tua is a better player or a better option than Ryan Fitzpatrick at this point. And we're going to find out. And the moment that everybody has been waiting for is here. It's Tua time, is what it is. And so now he gets his opportunity to shine. He gets his opportunity to prove he was worthy of the fifth pick overall in the draft. And Dolphin fans get to find out if they finally replace Marino. And that's the crazy part about all of this, that they're going to, you know, we're going to see. All right, do we finally have the answer? This is quarterback number 22 for Dan after the Dan Marino era was over. And we have been all waiting impatiently for this change to finally happen, and it has happened. And so now the worst part about it is now that we have to wait 2 weeks for this crap. Because now we're going to talk about it for 2 weeks. He's not going to play this Sunday. And then the other side is his first attempt in the NFL as a starter. Aaron Donald is on the other side. So that also becomes, you know, some crazy, crazy stuff. I saw on ESPN, former Sun Sentinel writer and current ESPN NFL insider. What's his name now? I'm forgetting.
That would be Dan Graziano.
Dan Graziano, good dude, by the way. Dan Graziano, good dude. And he had a mouthful about the Dolphins and the Tua move. Go ahead.
Let me make the case for the Miami Dolphins. I know it sounds ridiculous. We were sitting here a year ago. Oh. People were telling me they were trying to lose games on purpose. They are 3-3. They spent the most money of any team this offseason. They had 5 of the top 60 draft picks. They finished the season strong last year. Came up with one of the biggest wins in the whole league last year at the end when they knocked the Patriots out of that bye. Changed everything for the Patriots and the Chiefs. They're a game behind Buffalo. The last couple weeks, they've played much better than anybody else in the division. Yeah, they crushed the Jets this week, but they crushed the 49ers the week before. I'm just saying, it's not crazy.
They also have good losses. I mean, if there's Greeny. Such a thing, right? They played Seattle tough and lost. They played Buffalo tough and lost. Go ahead, Marcus.
There you go.
That actually was done before the Tua announcement,
before the
you know
Tua
that?
Stuff. Yeah, yeah. And now with the Tua stuff, it just gets crazier now for this team. Will they be able to, you know, they're winning right now. They're 3-3. They've won 2 in a row. Now it's up to Tua to continue this role because remember last year when Fitz struggled, they went with Rosen, and then Rosen did not really improve as his starts continued, and Flores went back to Fitz. He'll do the same thing if Tua does not perform. I think he is. I think Tua's at another level mentally. I think, you know, when you talk about accuracy and ball placement, I just think the only thing I worry about, I've told you guys this over and over again, I just worry about his body. And so the advice I would have for Tua is get rid of the effing ball. Okay? Snap the ball, make the drop, and throw.
Internal clock is max 3.
Yeah, just get rid of it. Do not hang on to it and take shots that you're not supposed to. A lot of people feel that's how he gets injured, because he takes too many extra shots that he's not supposed to because he's trying to make a play. Josh Rosen has a little bit of that in him too, where he hangs on to the ball trying to make a play, but I feel like you can trust Tua a little bit more than Josh at this point. And Tua hasn't even played yet. But I just feel these kind of dudes are wired differently. And that's the way I look at Tua, that he's wired differently than some other guys out there. So I think he's ready for this moment. I really do. I just worry about him health-wise. That's where I would rather him start in November, late November, early December, when I feel he's like a year removed from all of this. But listen, I'm going to give Flores the benefit of the doubt. He has earned it in my book. This team has improved again this year from last year. So he has a good pulse of what's going on. And he must feel that the questions are being all answered in the classroom. The questions are being all answered on the practice field. And then you brought him out for a couple of plays, and he made the right decisions and really good throws. And he looked comfortable too. He looked like he was, you know, especially the one where he rolled to the left and he had that face like.
Oh, when the first one when he's under the goalpost, yeah. The two guys coming down on him.
Yeah.
Right.
He had a face like, all right, so this is what it's all about. I'm good. I'm ready to go. You know, it just showed me that when I saw him. And so that, to me, tells me that mentally he's ready. Physically, we will find out, folks. And, you know, that's part of this game, unfortunately. And we'll see if everything works out. But I'm as shocked as anybody that news came out. Now, it's the right time to do it. It is the right time to do it. You've got the bye week now. He gets 2 weeks to prepare for his first opponent as a starter. I think that's very important on his part. And let me tell you something. He must have prepared really well for prior opponents. His preparation, he must have answered the questions the right way. He must have told the quarterback's coach and the offensive coordinator, you know, all the decisions that are being made, how they're being made and why they're being made. And he must have explained defenses that he's seeing and the coverages and where he should go. All of those things had to have been answered. Trust me, they're not going to throw him out there because they're trying to justify the draft pick. That's not how they roll. That's how Dave wants that rolls. Okay? That's how some other coaches, you know, the Parcells era, Jeff Ireland did that a lot here too. That's not how they roll here. Here you trade for Breida and they say, well, no, Miles Gaskin's out playing him. He's playing. That's how they roll here. You don't get it, you know. Preston Williams came out of nowhere, became one of the top players on the team last year before the knee injury, and there were other guys out there that they were paying money and all. And Preston Williams got ahead of all those cats. Mike Gesicki's kicking ass, but they liked the Shaheen kid that they traded for, and they drafted Durham Smythe, and they get those guys involved. These guys don't give a rat's ass, dude. They don't care. So if they play Robert Hunt, it's because they think he's ready. If they play Austin Jackson, it's because they think he's ready. If they play Solomon Kinley, it's because they think he's ready. That's it. And so Tua must be ready in every way, shape, and form right now at this point. That's why they're doing this. And remember, Buffalo lost last night. They're 4-2. Miami's 3-3. Miami could have won that Buffalo game. They made a couple mistakes in that game, and it was a close game. So maybe Flores is sitting around going, why can't we win the division? Why can't we challenge for a playoff spot? I'm looking at the landscape. My guys are playing well right now. You know, maybe that's what he's thinking. And again, I love it. You know, We have a luxury this season as Dolphin fans that we haven't had in forever. Because for many years, I'm fighting with some of you out there, not all of you, because some of you know my philosophy on drafting. Because a lot of you, oh, no, we got to have a high pick. Well, Ronnie Brown didn't turn out to be great. It's a high pick, right? Right? The defensive end that the that Jeff Ireland traded up for from Oregon. Now I'm forgetting his name. He's been in Seattle now. You guys help me out there. What's his name?
Deion
Jordan. That didn't work out. Top pick, right? I mean, plenty of top picks.
Back in the day, Ted Ginn.
Ted Ginn at least turned out to be a good player.
It took him five or six years.
But never justify the ninth pick overall. He was never going to do that. But Sammy Smith, we can go on and on. You can have all kinds of high picks. It doesn't – I've always said it's not where you pick, it's who you pick. So that's why you end up with Xavier Howard in the second round. That's why you end up with Preston Williams, you know, in street free agency. You understand what I'm saying? If you know how to draft, you'll find talent all throughout the draft. So I fight with a lot of you over the years that, oh, no, we got to lose the game so we can get a higher draft pick. Well, this is the one year in Dolphin history that we get to root for the team to win. I mean, I do that anyway. But for those of you out there that are sick about, you know, you got to lose to get the higher pick or whatever, all that BS. I would always fight with you guys about that. I say, listen, if you know how to draft, you're going to find players all throughout the draft. Right? Solomon Kinley's a fourth rounder, correct? And the dude's one of the best young offensive linemen in the draft. He is mauling fools. If you know how to draft, you'll find players all throughout the draft. This is the one year where we don't have to worry about the Dolphin draft pick and we can root for them to win because the Houston Texans are doing all the losing for us and they have our first and second round picks that we're really like cheering on. Isn't it awesome? We get the best of both worlds, as Van Halen would say. Van Hagar would say. Okay? I mean, that's actually pretty cool that we have both right now. It's awesome. I mean, you can't beat it. We're in the middle of rebuilding. It's a fast rebuild. All of a sudden, you know, I was like one of the few people excited about the incomplete teardown.
You were excited about us going 0-16, man.
Yeah, I didn't mind because I wanted the talent to develop, and I knew that Chris Greer knew what he was doing. And think about this. After all that hell you thought we were going to go through, it was only one season. Wow.
And it wasn't even hell. The last nine games.
Was fun.
Right?
It was a lot of fun. And knocking out the Patriots.
Dude, that was the cherry on top.
We were the beginning, the igniting of the demise of the Patriots. Okay? Pick six, knocking your ass out, making you play in the wild card round. You're out. Next year, you lose Brady, and now you're trailing the Dolphins in the standings. Ha! F you, Patriots.
I see Phil Collins. Ha, ha, ha!
That's it. Little Mama. Love that song. God. Still remember that concert. Orange Bowl. Sombrero.
Oh, a lot of this is
back
about...
Back-to-back nights.
Yeah, oh, yeah. A lot of this is about 2 weeks to prepare. Yeah. You're maxing out and giving the kid really what you should do with your players. What, give them every chance to succeed.
What a great coach does, and I'm not saying Brian Flores is a great coach, but here are the characteristics of a great coach. You develop a culture. They buy in. You develop a team. They buy in. The team responds, and they start to play well. Instead of throwing the kid out there to be your savior and save everything, now Tua can step into a team that has receivers playing well, tight ends playing well, running backs doing a serviceable job, offensive line doing an excellent job of pass blocking. So now, and the defense has actually gotten better because when you added Byron Jones, baby, that changed the whole dynamics of that defense. Have you noticed that? You got the two shutdown corners on each end, right? I know, Sam Madison, Pat Surtain back in the day. When you have those kind of guys, it changes everything.
Don't forget the other kid, Jones, the rookie kid,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
He played really well out of position, brother.
That's right. That's right. And again, it's because the people in the front office know what the hell they're doing. So now you have created an environment that the coach feels, okay, my guy can play now. And I'm going to give him 2 weeks to prepare. So Flores has done everything possible to set it up. Now, if the offensive line wasn't playing well, if the receivers were injured, if Fitz is running for his life, I doubt this decision is made. But Fitz is not running for his life. Fitz actually has running backs. He has tight ends. He has wide receivers. He has an O-line. He has a good damn offensive coordinator. So now everything fell into place. So now's the time. You put Tua in. Makes all the sense in the world, baby. Nothing wrong with that. I mean, I love everything about it. Okay? Even though I may not have pulled the trigger myself at this time, but I understand. See, this is what I love about these guys now. For 20 years, those of you that have followed me, I ripped this team constantly because they do things that never made sense. This makes sense. When you take a step back and you look at the process, it's not a bad thing to put them out there now because of the way people are playing. I can't argue with that. I can't argue with the way the line is playing and the receivers and the tight ends and the running backs and the offensive coordinator is putting everybody in positions to be successful. Can you argue with that? I can't. We do have a little Skip Bayless on Tua.
Oh, putting egg on his face as usual?
The guys from the, what is it, Undisputed, Undefeated, whatever
it's
called?
Yeah, it's Undisputed, him and Shannon.
Shannon, all right, talking about Tua. Go ahead, fire off.
By the way, I've never seen a young player commemorate his first game action, even in mop-up duty, by going back out and sitting where your drive stalled at the 15-yard line and just soaking it all in and then FaceTiming your parents.
Well, considering the journey that he was probably wasn't even supposed to be playing with that hip injury, because Bo Jackson had that hip injury, and he never played another down.
So how can you take a kid fifth overall when you're that shaky about his future?
Modern medicine has done amazing things.
He's right about that. He's wrong. Completely different hip injuries. If he would have had Bo Jackson's hip injury, he doesn't come back. It's a different hip injury. But it's still a hip injury, and it's still scary. And Shannon is right. Modern medicine has made, you know,
that Bo Jackson thing, I mean, the blood circulation had ceased. And, like, it was dying.
It was bad.
Yeah.
It was bad. So it's sad, but... he didn't have that bad of an injury, thank the Lord. But it's just one of those things, folks, where and Skip is right. He's never seen that. I don't think he meant it as an insult, actually. When you listen to it, the tone of it, it was just something like you'd never seen anything like that. But then again, we're all different human beings, and we all connect differently with our parents, our friends, our coworkers, whatever. Tua has an incredibly close relationship with his parents, and he's a spiritual guy, and that was a spiritual moment for him, and I tell you what, I give Shannon a lot of credit because I think he kind of nailed it, the road the kid's been on to get back to this point, and when you take the field in the NFL and you make a couple of passes and you convert the only first down. That the only third down in the game, okay, he didn't accomplish anything in the big picture, but in his life he did, because he came back from a brutal, you know, injury and now was able to get drafted and was able to make it onto the field. And so now the next step is, let's have a career.
Plus, like you pointed out yesterday, his parents have been at all of his games.
Yeah.
This is the first one they missed.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, let me ask you a question, because obviously this just came out, and like thinking of the whole scenarios and looking at dates and like, okay, we got 2 weeks to prepare. It makes sense. We play the Rams. let's see, because they have a really strong defensive front. Obviously, Donald is the guy. And they play well. They got some nice secondary.
Right.
So if Tua is able to get past the Rams, okay, stay with me. The trade deadline is 2 days later. If they feel good enough about Tua, are they maybe like turn Fitz into a commodity and get some value? No.
No.
You gotta keep your insurance policy.
Yeah, they would never do
okay.
that.
All right.
And anyways,
I was thinking about it, and
I don't think Fitz will bring anything. Jordan Howard might be one that if somebody needs a short yardage back, they'll ship his ass out happily. I don't think that they'll do anything.
Fitz is
like
with us for the duration. We're gonna ride with our guys.
Yeah, because you never know what's gonna happen with Tua.
I was just thinking of how many teams need quarterbacks.
Yeah,
and you know how we love to get draft picks, and I'm like thinking, God, they could turn something in, you know, for Fitz. They could get
but
something.
But it wouldn't be enough.
It wouldn't be enough. Okay.
The pick you're getting is not worth unloading him because you need him for the rest of the season.
And
God
then you're
forbid.
Flying without a net
right.
with the team
right.
at QB.
And spiritually, let's go back to that word, you are going to hurt the team because they feel better having him around. So now if you ship him out and it's all on Tua and it fails or he gets injured or there's a setback, then there's nobody you can count on. This way, you always have Fitz there ready.
You're undercutting his development,
yes.
that relationship they have.
Yes, and that's the other thing also is his development. He needs to come to the sideline and have Fitz there to tell him, did you see this, just in case, whatever. So all
like
of that
they've been
too,
doing, like they've been doing all season.
Yeah,
I mean, you see it. That's the first thing they do. You see him.
He's here to UD it from here on out, okay? That's what he is. Julius 305 was first in the house with a little Tua baby. Gus in. Josh, man of 1,005 holds. Chewy. John. Isais. Clifton. Matthew Walker. Ohio John. Big O. They're starting Tua, but I think it's too early. I think Fitz and what he brings to I like what Fitz brings to the table. I got you. It's understandable to feel like that. People are going to feel that it's a little too soon.
Where are you with, like, on a scale of 1 to 10, where are you in enthusiasm?
Oh, 10. 10.
You are?
Oh, totally. Totally. I'm shocked, 10, and I'm enthused, 10. Of course I am. What do you think? I want the guy to go out there and ball out, dude.
Oh, man, of course.
And
I want him to be as successful as Marino hitting the ground
more,
run.
More successful.
Okay, yeah.
I want him to be more
Let's
successful.
Let's dream big.
Yeah, no, I want Super Bowls, bro. I want Super Bowls. I need a Super Bowl before I croak, man. I need a Super Bowl.
I gotta
have a Dolphin Super Bowl, bro.
I was only talking about his start. You remember how Marino hit the ground running and was like, wow.
Yeah, I get it, but it's got to be better than that.
You want the long finish product.
I need a Super Bowl, bro.
We all do, man.
Yep. Josh says, can't wait to see him play next Sunday. I'm with you. Victor says, when I saw a TV shot of Fitz family, I thought he knew it was the last time before Tua. Charles Reed, only 22, feels like 50, Big O. That's right. Hola, O. Thank you, Super Boom Shaq. Big O, when I read the news about Tua starting, I was so happy and excited. Got goosebumps and chills all over. I thought it was going to be this. I thought it wasn't going to be this soon, but bring it on. That's right. I'm with you. Bring it on. I trust Flo, man. You know? Jean-Luc is in the house. Let's see who else chiming in.
Gotta say the development of this offensive line is a big part of why he's doing this.
Yep.
You wouldn't do this in your right mind against that Rams front line, right?
No. Pizza guy says, I love the decision. Also giving him 2 weeks to be prepared. Questions. Was it a mistake to announce him as a starter early? Because maybe the Rams will prepare differently. They won't, pizza guy. They have nothing on him. They have no idea what they're going to do with him. So it doesn't really matter. At this point, they have no tape, you know? Big Rig says, what's up, Big O and Bill and my fellow listening family? Adrian Gonzalez is in.
Big Rig, stay safe out there, bro.
That's right, always. GP Trap is in. Man of 1,005 holds. Tremolio says, what the heck is the schedule for this show now? that on stage, it's on side, not on stage, took the old slot. Dude, like tomorrow will be late afternoon over at VSS West Pines. Yeah, my life is a little crazy now, Tremolio. I'm sorry. You guys may have to live with the thing that warns you that we're on.
Even more of a reason to subscribe, right?
Yeah, subscribe so you know exactly when we come on. Exactly. Please subscribe. Please subscribe. Pipe Man Slim says, what's good? You know what's good. It's Tua. It's like Fitz got hurt or anything. Tua stumbles a little and you got a guy there to pick him up. That's right. That's right. I'm with you. Let's see what else. I'm excited for Tua. I'm just worried about his hip. I would like to see Tua become our future Hall of Famer with a Super Bowl ring or two or three. Should I be worried about the offensive line with Tua being a left-handed quarterback? They are a right tackle and guard, and mainly run blockers are not good pass blockers. Actually, they've done a better job of pass blocking than run blocking, sir. And Robert Hunt might be more of a mauler, actually, on your right side than Jesse Davis on the left side. So the right side is Tua's blind side, not the left side. So right now, that might be a good thing. Alex says, Big O, I think Coach Flores saw the Bills and Pats struggling the past few weeks and smelled blood in the water. You might be right, my man. You might be right. I haven't bought the Patriots since the offseason. I told you that they're going to be 500 at best. I just don't. Sorry, I look at that roster and
it's amazing you're like right on the mark within our division, man. The Jets call, the Patriots call, Buffalo. You know, you see Allen. You were starting to buy into Allen, but you were still apprehensive. We've seen what's happened the last 2 weeks. I gotta commend you, bro.
Yeah,
like talking about being bullseye, dead on, double bull. Amazing, bro.
Once in a while, my fantasy team still sucks. 1-5. Holy moly, we have a lot of receivers. 2021 Parker, Preston Ford, Jakeem, Bowens Jr., Callaway, Collins, Hearns, Gesicki. Yeah. Tremolio, listen to me, my brother. And every Dolphin fan out there in the world, I will repeat it over and over and over again. I've said it many times over the last year. The Dolphins will prove to have one of the best front offices in the NFL. Okay? I keep telling people this ain't the same freaking Dolphins, dude. You keep thinking that the other shoe's going to fall, that they're going to do stupid things, that they're going to give away draft picks, that none of that is happening anymore. They don't give away big salaries. They handle the cap the right way. They can find talent in street free agency. They can find talent all over the place. Okay? So that's why I tell you that's what you're going to learn, that these guys, they know what the hell they're doing, man. And they're going to find talent all over, and they're going to load this team up all over. Look at the Shaheen kid. They gave up crap for him. And he's a high draft pick, right? Second rounder, you guys took him?
Yeah, it's second or third at the latest.
Yeah.
And we didn't understand it because he's from a little school.
Yeah, yeah.
And I gave you the stats yesterday.
Yeah.
Dude, in one game, the guy almost covered 2 years, 17 and in. The previous year, he had 120-something in 8 games.
Right.
He had 51 yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
Plus, they're developing the other kid. We have 3 tight ends on our team.
Right.
Being productive.
Right, right. So I just think this is a team that's, we got a different front office. We got a different team. We got a future. This is going to be fun. Finally, all the crap that we went through the last 20 years, it's just, you know, that's the best part. When I see a lot of you in Cleveland this year for the draft, we're going to be able to commiserate about all of this. And we're going to talk about this. We're going to laugh about all of this. Because it's been a sucky 20 years before last year. And I just think things are changing. And I've thought about this from the get-go when they hired Greer. That I just said, that's why I was so excited about this process. Because finally, it's a process that makes sense. It's a process that you're using the right people. It's a process that now you're actually going to build a franchise again that used to be one of the great franchises in the NFL, in all of sports. And we're going to get back to being a great franchise in the NFL again. It's just going to be a lot of fun. I love Fitzy. He's a true professional. I believe he was correct mentor for Tua. That being said, in the second half of that game, we should have been up 38-0. And I think that's a reason why those two interceptions were kind of reckless. And I think Flores said, you know, I don't think our kid's going to be reckless. We're winning. We got a pretty good team around us right now. I think he can go out there. Let me give him a chance. Let me give him 2 weeks to prepare. So he is really as prepared as possible. He's had 6 weeks now to watch Fitz prepare for one game after another after no offseason. So now they feel this is the time. And I love
it. It's a hell of a test. If he passes the Rams test, okay?
Yeah.
That's a good barometer, man.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. Their history shows this is all facts. I just like what I've seen from our guys, man. I just think we have the right people in place. Herman, I'm guessing onside is a penalty or something in soccer. Yeah, you stay onside the ball. Yes. Yes. Onside. Yes. Or you could be in football, too. In American football, you're onside or you're offsides.
You can't line up in the neutral zone.
Yeah. In football, it's also you're onside or you're offside. Okay? Hey, why don't you ask what's his name, bro? The defensive end for UM that we got from Temple. Ask him.
Phillips?
No, it's not Phillips. Ask the dude from Temple.
Number 15.
Roche. Okay. Ask Roche if he was onside or offsides when he failed to make the interception against Clemson. Get what I'm saying? So onside is actually a term in sports, not just soccer, but in football too. Okay. It's not a basketball term. It's not a baseball term, but it is a American football term and it's a soccer term. You're either onside or you're offside. So yeah. So it's a little bit of both. Onside, baby. Let's see. Shaheen was a second round pick. And speaking of Bill, now that Tua's our QB, will he finally give up 27 of his other favorite teams? No. Maybe he'll give up one or two, but he's got to keep at least 25.
Who is that?
That's Dougie Fresh.
That's Doug.
Of course.
Our friend in the panhandle. Our reporter in the panhandle.
Let him live in peace, says, I know Tua is more accurate passer than Fitzpatrick already, and Tua is good at identifying defensive pre-snap. That's because Tua is muy inteligente. Muy inteligente. Mauricio says, Big O, can you imagine if we go to the draft party in Cleveland and we make it to at least the AFC Championship game with Tua? That would be a great season. I know, huh? Just think about this. If you just make the playoffs this year, okay, I know AFC Championship game is a lot, but just the playoffs this year, in your second year of a complete teardown rebuild, and then you're going to the draft with 4,000 picks, are you kidding me, bro?
Who does this remind you of?
Are you kidding me?
Remember Patriots winning Super Bowls and they've got 5 picks in the first 60 or whatever, right?
Yeah, but the only difference is these guys are drafting better than Bill Belichick.
Awesome point.
Okay. These guys draft better than Bill. Bill actually is a mediocre drafter. I know he got Tom Brady in the 6th round. How many times are we going to do that one? But you watch him, he screws up in the draft a lot. Where Bill makes up for it is in free agency. He picks up people from other teams, and then he finds a role for them there. But drafting, he makes a lot of mistakes. Go back and look at the drafts. You'll see a lot of mistakes in the drafts.
His free agent moves, the guys have high football IQs.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
and they're interchangeable pieces. And they gets everything out of them.
In that sense, he's very Shula-like because Shula demands intelligence. And Belichick also demands intelligence. Brian Flores demands intelligence. It's not a trait that's necessarily required on all teams. Sometimes they'll take a guy that's super talented and he's a freaking knucklehead. And then there are those teams that are like, yeah, he's really talented, but dude, he's a knucklehead. Knuckleheads are knuckleheads. And so that you know, it all depends. But that's the thing. You're going to Cleveland with all those picks. And if you do get into the playoffs by some miracle this year, and you have people that know what the hell they're doing draft-wise, that's some scary-ass stuff, dude. Great for us. Scary for the Jets, the Bills, and the Patriots. I think it was a smart move by Flores. Put him in with the team building on a winning streak instead of throwing him in a dumpster fire. Well, no, that's the thing. You don't want to make him the savior because that's unfair to him. You don't want to do that. This is the right time. You're right about that, Bromar. You think we go after Williams from the Jets, the third pick of the draft? I don't know what they do. I don't think that they'll be giving away big money this offseason. But I don't think so. Big O, bro, I can't keep with you, man. You are everywhere, as it should be. Yeah, but I don't know if my voice will last. Fitz is like a proud papa handing the reins to Tua. I'm just glad there's plenty of other young developing talent for him to grow with and no selfish wide receivers like Mike Wallace or Marshall. Amen to that. Amen to that, dude. That is such a great point. But again, Flores is not that guy. He's not going to go sign Antonio Brown, who's about to be available now. You know, whatever team signs him, that they're doing it out of desperation to deal with a knucklehead. Speaking of talented knuckleheads. And that's a talented knucklehead right there. I mean, that is one stupid individual right there in Antonio Brown.
Considering what's happened at Buffalo the last 2 weeks, could you see them reaching and adding that to their offense?
No.
Even though it's not the – I mean, you know.
No. No.
They're smarter than that?
Oh, I don't know if they're smarter than that. I'm just saying no.
Okay.
I just don't think they will. I don't think they will.
I got to think there's –
I don't think he wants to play in Buffalo.
Yeah. You know? You're right about that.
I mean, he might – and he's and if that kid, Josh, goes back to being, like, you know, super inaccurate again and spraying it all over the place, he'll trash his quarterback like he's done before. You know? So I just
we were so ready to anoint Buffalo the next and him and all and 4-0. Yep. And man, takes 2 weeks and look at how the song has totally changed.
Yep. Oh, in your experience, have you ever seen a starting quarterback have success, turn over the keys with grace and encouragement? Oh, that's a great question. Have success, turn over the keys with enjoyment. No, dude, I don't remember. I don't remember a situation like this. No. Trying to think of a quarterback that was still having success and then they handed it over. No.
Would you say, I mean, because there wasn't success, but the guy was putting up numbers. Romo and the way he had the injury and Dak took off.
Yeah, but it was injury.
And the way Romo.
It was injury. He's talking about a guy that's winning.
And is still able to play.
Dude, Fitz is coming off two games where they scored like 400 points and the other team scored 10.
Yeah.
Okay? So it's what he's saying. It's like, okay, so you're coming off two blowout wins and you're getting benched.
The offense is firing on cylinders, man.
And defense, and you're getting benched? Like,
there isn't any negative issue to pull you from the starting spot.
Right, yeah.
I gotcha.
And then you're handy. And then he's going to gracefully also give it away as a... the Red Hot Chili Peppers would say. I don't know. I've never seen that. I don't know if I've ever. Maybe there's.
I was reaching because of the way.
No, I get
Romo
it.
Handled.
I get.
You
no,
know what
Romo.
I mean?
Romo handled in a classy fashion, but he got injured.
But yeah, there was a circumstance.
They had no choice. They had to throw Dak in there. This is a choice. We have won two in a row. We have blown out two teams, and really, it's not like Fitz. You know, almost made us lose any of those games. Not really. Made a couple of mistakes, but again, not put us in any kind of danger. And yet, we're going to make a change.
His mistakes per se didn't cost us games.
Yeah, it's
because the one in New England, we've talked about it. There was clear pass interference in the end zone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
On that interception.
Yeah. I don't see it. I mean, no.
How do you think?
You know what? Wait a minute. The closest thing, and it wasn't like he was having tons of success, but they were still somewhat winning. Peyton Manning. When Peyton Manning lost his arm, they went to Joe. They went to my boy Osweiler, and I believe Osweiler went 4-1 in that stretch, and then they went back to Peyton Manning. So it might have been where Peyton was, you know, I don't know, maybe the injury was worse or whatever, but that's about the closest thing I can get. And I'm not going to tell you that Peyton was graceful or anything like that, but he kind of understood his shortcomings at that moment, and Osweiler took over, and actually Osweiler played well. That's probably the best stretch of Osweiler's career, and he never played like that again. But then again, he never was on a team that was that good all over the place.
Well, you remember the game, what did he throw, 5 interceptions in the first half or something, and that was it?
Yeah, my boy Osweiler. So maybe that's about the closest thing, but it's hard, man. It's hard to remember a situation like that. You know, Alex Smith and Colin Kaepernick, was he playing well and then they benched him? Hunter is better. Alex Smith and Pat Mahomes. Yeah, but that was Alex Smith played the whole season, and then Mahomes played the last game of the season, and then he started the following year. So you're right. That's actually the closer one that you let. But then it's still different. You know why? Because you were already going to turn the page, and that's why you started in that final game, because it didn't make a difference in your season. So you played them. There's something on the line here. There was something on the line with Brock Osweiler and Peyton Manning, because obviously they went on to win the Super Bowl. But my point is that there's something on the line here. There was nothing on the line in Kansas City. You were turning the page with that last game. You're like, the Alex Smith era is over. We're starting now with Pat Mahomes. It's a little different. A little different. Actually, now that I think about it, no, Strock DeMarino was not. They were struggling. They needed something. He came off the bench against the Raiders, lit him up, and the rest is history. Bledsoe to Pretty Boy is not. Bledsoe got injured. They busted his lung or his ribs or whatever, and then the rest is history.
He did come in that playoff game and throw that touchdown pass against Pittsburgh.
Yes.
He did do, you know, a little help.
Yeah, but that was a couple weeks after.
That was actually, I want to say, three, maybe four or five.
Yeah, it was
weeks after.
Right. So, yeah. Yeah, because he was like, they hit Brady and he was kind of like, they maybe thought he was
might
concussed,
have been concussed
or something.
Right,
and then
this is before you're not allowed back on the field, you know?
Yeah.
If you could tell him how many numbers you're holding up. Oh, he's good to go. Let him
out there. this is a situation like none other. No doubt about it. Folks, I got to wrap it up because I got to save my voice. I got to try to rest as much as possible.
You just did 42 minutes in a row, man, by the way, in case, okay?
Yeah, so I got to wrap it up here. There's really not much else to talk about. I'm not going to get into the World Series or Tubin or any of the other stuff that's going on. This is the one thing that matters. And so I appreciate all of you out there for tuning in and showing us some love. I will see you tomorrow. It'll be late in the afternoon, 4 or 5 o'clock, something like that. We'll be out at VSS West Pines. So if you want to come by and visit us, you can. But we'll be on tomorrow afternoon from VSS West Pines. Much love out there. Y'all be good. Thank you all for supporting us in every way possible. You're amazing. Be good out there.
Y'all stay safe. We'll see you tomorrow.